You know about you, whenever I see that clip, it's an ancient clip. We apologize for the quality on the Chariots of Fire. It's something that makes you want to go in slow motion, right? I mean, there's something that makes you want to just kind of slow down and begin this deliberate jaunt toward whatever your goal is. You know, we're talking, as PJ said, about running today. And you know, we're getting ready for the next season here at Crosspoint. We're preparing for the next kind of big thing that's coming that God's doing. And today we're in week two of this series called Red, or otherwise known as Prepared. And as we do this, the Bible talks quite a bit about being ready for God. In fact, the Bible talks quite a bit about helping others see God more clearly and what it means for us as a community to be prepared to help that happen. And so we're looking at some of the red letter teachings of Jesus, what he says about preparedness and being ready. And that's for us individually, what it means for us to be ready individually to go to that next new place, what it means for our community known as Crosspoint, this tribe here, to go to this next new place corporately, as well as what it means to help others in our community kind of take those steps toward God, going to that next new place in their relationship with God. So we're going to go after that today. Before we do that, let's pray. God, I'm praying right now. I'm thankful, God, that there's a place we can come where we can talk about reality. There's a place where we can come, and regardless of where we are in our spiritual orientation, we can come and we can hear things maybe we don't hear anywhere else. We can listen to things that maybe aren't being said in other places. And God, we can even do things that we really don't see being done in any other places in the world. And so today we're thankful. We ask God that you would just help us to see how you're preparing us, what you're doing to get this community ready, to get each of us individually ready for whatever it is that you have in store for us next. And God, help our hearts to get in sync with you today in your name. Amen. So one of the things we do each week here is we take out the weekly. Hopefully you got one of these when you came in. And there's a connection card inside. And if you're a regular attender or a partner here at Crosspoint, you can just put your name and any information that's changed. You know, every now and then somebody says, well, what's the difference between a regular attender and a partner? You know, how do I know if I'm a partner here at Crosspoint? Well, you know, if you just come and sit in the seats and you're just kind of taking it in right now, there's a season for that, then you're a regular attender. But if you're a part of volunteering someplace, if you're, you know, financially fueling this place through giving, you know, then you're a partner. There's not just something that you come to, but you're a part of making it happen for others. And so that's what it means to be a partner. There's a stake in the ground, a piece of ownership saying, hey, I am a part of making this happen for other people. And then if you're a guest today, we're just glad that you've chosen to join us. I mean, you take a little over an hour out of your weekend and spend it here with us at Crosspoint. But we're privileged that you've done that with us. And if you don't mind filling this out as well, and as much information as you're comfortable passing along, we love your name, email address, love to keep you in the loop of what's happening here. We're always interested in finding out what drew you here. How'd you hear about us? And it's always just intriguing to us. And then you can place this somewhere where you can grab it later, because we'll refer to this later in our service. You know, God has always been putting unique teams of people together. Throughout the ages, God has been putting teams of people together with very unique focuses. In fact, the very first team that we see God putting together, we see in Genesis chapter 12, and we see God giving this first team, known as the nation of Israel, a very unique mission statement. In fact, here's what it says. Here's what God said to Abram, who's now Father Abraham. You may have sung the song when you were a kid, and here's kind of what God said to him. He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And so, you know, this is one of these mission statements that God gives to this first team that he puts together. And it's one of those statements that just transcends time. I mean, it transcends all time. It transcends all space. I mean, this has been one of the missions, one of the purposes that God created us for ever since the beginning. And he said, wherever you are, whatever you're doing in life, whatever your job is, whatever your occupation is, you know, one of the things I've created you for is to be a blessing. And so he's saying, you know, whenever people come together in my name, whenever people's lives are about my stuff, you're a blessing. People are going to be blessed. That's the way I designed it. Now, if we're really honest, it doesn't always work that right way, right? I mean, you can think of times when you've had interaction with people who said, man, I'm falling after the heart of God, and they are not a blessing. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be a blessing to people. You know, the idea here is that people are thankful that you're around. I mean, because you're a blessing to them. The society, you know, the place, the community in you live is better because you were there. That, you know, people in your neighborhood feel like their neighborhood's a better place because you happen to move into it. I mean, this is what it means to be a blessing. You're saying, I'm not just here living, but what does it mean for me to understand that one of the roles God gave me is to be a blessing wherever I am? You know, I was standing in line at the movies a while back, and And it was one of those moments where, you know, I just kind of, I'm out and in front of me, I saw somebody that I knew, and they're kind of a ways in front of me. I began to watch this interaction take place. And a person start yelling at the attendant, the student who was trying to work the cash register. And I just sat there. It's one of those moments where even though you know the person, you begin to kind of just like become inconspicuous because you don't want to have a conversation after this interaction that just took place. So I just kind of begin to blend in. I just remember thinking to myself, this person has lost that idea that their life is to be a blessing. I mean, I don't know what took place up there, but you know, it reminded me as well that there are times in my life where I'm interacting with people where I forget that my life is to be a blessing. It's one of the primary things that God invited us to do, one of the purposes he gave us. And so last week, as we began this Red Series, we looked at how Jesus came, and he was very clear about why he came into this world. He was very clear who he was for. You know, he didn't come, contrary to what we might believe, to just spend his whole life in the temple. He didn't come to give the temple better teachings and just sit there and theologize with all the spiritual religious, you know, people have their panties in a bunch, religious people. I mean, it's this kind of religious group that's all they do. Jesus said, I didn't come to be with those people. In fact, he was very clear. He said, I came for those that feel like they're not good enough. In fact, he even listed out, you know, very descriptive words. He said, I came for those who are broken, those who are bad, those people who feel like there's no way that God could ever use me, people that feel like, you know, my life is a waste. And he said, those are the people that I came for because I came to restore and to heal. I didn't come to just hang out in the temple with those who think that they're already good enough. And so Jesus was very clear about this. In fact, one of the things we see about Jesus, the person Jesus, the person who walked this earth just over 2,000 years ago, is that Jesus was a go-to guy. All right, he's a go-to person. When I say go-to, I'm not talking like what Reggie Miller was to the Pacers when they were good. Remember when Reggie Miller was like the go-to guy, and when he was playing, when they were good, right? And I'm not talking that. I'm not talking the Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning connection we had a few years ago, or what's turned into the Reggie Wayne, Peyton Manning connection. Football fans, 3 weeks from today, right, is opening Colts game. Yeah, I know many of us are excited. You know, we're not talking about that kind of go-to person. What we're talking about here is Jesus was saying, hey, if you want to find me, if you want to connect with me, don't come to the temple. I'm not going to be hanging out in the temple with people. He said, I'm going to come to where you are. He's a go-to where you are kind of guy. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to get on your turf with whatever you're dealing with, wherever you are, and I'm going to meet you in that place. That's one of the unique things we see about this person, Jesus, that sometimes we forget about. You know, one of the things that we kind of wrestled through over these last months as we have gone through the crazy campaign and we're preparing for this next location, this next place that Crosspoint's going to meet, kind of a permanent home for us to continue to build into people and to be a launch pad for us, is we said, you know, we are a go-to kind of community. I mean, we exist here at Fall Creek Intermediate School right now. You know, we're kind of like a church without walls. I mean, we don't own this place, so it's hard to say this is our place, you know, come to our place. We exist here on weekends and then we're scattered out into the community. One of the things we really had to wrestle with is saying, you know, when we make that move into that next location and we occupy this all month long, you know, we have a sign on the side of the building, it stays up throughout the month, you know, what's going to happen within our culture here? Because we don't want to become that place that now is a come to us culture. You know, so many times that happens where, you know, churches move into places and it's like, man, we got this nice place now, so we're just going to exist in this nice place and we're going to invite everybody to come to us. Now, and obviously, we want people to come to us on weekends. I mean, we do services for people to come and explore God. I mean, we're really big on that. And yet, you know, throughout the week, it's not really going to change what we do. As we leave this place on Sundays at Fall Creek Intermediate School, this community goes and scatters all around the greater northeast side of Indianapolis. And one of the things we had to wrestle through is, what does it mean for us to continue to be a go-to culture, not a come-to-us culture? Well, we see Jesus kind of lifting this out for us. It's one of the things that he's kind of teaching as he's teaching his followers. He's saying, hey, if your heart is interested in running hard after me, this is one of the concepts that you have to get, what it means to go instead of to wait for people to come to you. And so he lists this out in Matthew chapter 25. If you have a Bible, you can follow along there. If you don't have a Bible, we have free Bibles at Connection Point. You can pick one up after service today. And so this is Jesus giving us some of those red letter teachings. If your Bible has red print in it, you're going to see that this is these are the literal words of Jesus right here in Matthew 25, and he's saying this is what it means to be a go culture. In fact, it's titled Sheep and Goats, which is really fascinating. Here's what he says in verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Have you ever noticed the difference between a sheep and a goat? Yeah, you just kind of lump them together. I mean, you know, sheep are much more attractive. They have much better hair. You know, the sheep are the ones they take away and they shave them and makes wool. Goats are just kind of like gruff and gross and greasy. And, you know, sheep have the ability to follow. I mean, sheep are led by a shepherd. I mean, they have this ability to submit themselves to their shepherd and kind of follow along in herds and get directions from the shepherd. Goats are just kind of obstinate, stubborn, like creatures. I don't know why. My kids always want to go to the goat pen at the zoo. I'm not sure what they like about goats. There's something dirty about a goat. Jesus is kind of saying, you know, I'm going to separate those, the sheep from the goats. There's a lot of characteristics there. He said, I'm going to separate those who have got it, who are kind of following, submitting to me. I'm going to separate those who are just interested in doing life their way. He goes on. He says, then the king said to those on his right, which would be the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And so what we see Jesus doing here is he's saying this is a litmus test. This is a litmus test. I want to separate those who are really serious, who are obedient followers. You say, man, my heart is running after you, God, from those that are just pretending. Because, you know, every now and then somebody's comes up to me and they're like, God, Kurt, I'm ready to go to that next new place. I'm ready to kind of take that step to that next new place. Or, you know, other times somebody comes up to me and they use all this spiritual lingo. And in case you haven't noticed, whenever I connect with you on the lobby or wherever, you know, I'm not a highly spiritual, like let's just talk in the spiritual realms all the time. I'm kind of a down-to-earth, like, let's talk the practical, what this means for us now. But I get people all the time that come up and they want to, like, impress me with, like, all that they know. And, you know, whether it's that or somebody just saying, hey, I want to go to the next level, one of the first questions I usually ask is, I say, well, where are you serving at? Like, where are you, like, serving? And they're like, well, what does that have to do with, like, going to the next level? What does that have to do with, like, going and connecting with God at a different place? I say, well, no, let me get back to the question. Where are you engaged in just loving on other people? Where are you engaged in demonstrating Jesus' love to the people around you? Where are you doing? They're like, well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, I want to be about, you know, connecting with God at a deeper level and going to places and getting lost in meditation. I'm like, that's all good stuff. But where are you engaged in life-on-life stuff with people? You know, this is where this gets a little blurred for us because, you know, here at Crosspoint, we're really big on a couple principles that Jesus called some of the greatest things. In fact, one of the hills we die on around here, one of our values, one of the things that we just go to bat for every week is, what does it mean to love God more? In fact, you've probably seen this symbol up periodically or maybe on some t-shirts. This is a symbol that reminds us that one of the hills we die on around here is to love God. And what that means is we want to continue to cultivate a love for God and people that come here, regardless of where we're in our spiritual journey. And what that also means is, what does it mean for us to remove barriers so we can actually experience God in new ways? And so we're really big on that. We're big on loving God. And then you know, we're really big on another big hill we die on here is loving others. We're big on creating experiences for us to do life on life with people, to just kind of love on people, to, you know, engage and display the love of Christ to others. And this is just a really big thing. In fact, Jesus talked about this. Jesus, when he was cornered by one of the religious Pharisees who were just trying to play this religious game with him, said, well, you know, Jesus, if you could sum everything up in all the scriptures, what would it be? And he thought for a moment. He said, well, I want you to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, and then I also want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And they're like, well, no, we're just interested in talking about the God thing. We don't care about people. We're just interested in God. He's like, no. The two go hand in hand. He says everything hinges or hangs on these two things. And sometimes we're like, well, yeah, I just want the God thing. I want to come into this room. I want to get lost in worship. I want to just experience God in increased ways in my life. My question is still the same. Where are you loving on people in your life? Because Jesus is very clear. You can't have one without the other. Maybe the way that we love God is actually in how we love others. I mean, Jesus said the two are tightly connected. You know, and so what Jesus is saying here, he's saying what we do for others demonstrates what we really think about Jesus' words. Do we do these things right here? Do we feed the hungry? Do we give to the homeless? Do you look after the sick? Do you clothe the naked? I mean, this parable, it defines these acts of mercy that we can do every day. And these aren't dependent on wealth, they're not dependent on ability. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I can't play the guitar, so I can't come up and play in this band. No, these are dependent on, you know, if you're alive, if you're breathing, if you have any mobility whatsoever, you can feed the hungry, you can give to the homeless. This is not dependent on status. It's like, are you developing a life where you're freely and generously blessing others? He goes on in verse 37. He says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you. When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whenever you did, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Now, there's often much discussion about that word brother right there. Who is my brother? Who do I have a responsibility to do this for? In fact, ancient kind of thought, one thought was that it meant the Jews. It was this chosen group of Jews, and you're just supposed to love and provide for the needs of your brothers, your Jews, your chosen group that you're a part of, this kind of insider group. And others are like, no, it's not that group. It's broader than that. It's everybody who's fallen after God. It's everybody who's pursuing the heart of God. You know, if you know anybody who calls himself a follower of Christ or a Christian, then those are brothers or sisters of yours, and you do these things for them. And then there's others who are like, no, it's even broader than that. It's anyone, it's everyone who's hurting anywhere or has a need. In fact, this is the same debate that Jesus had with the lawyer when he was talking about the man who was bleeding on the side of the road, and there are three different people that went by him, and finally this lowly Samaritan stopped and nursed his needs. And the question came up, well, who's my neighbor really, Jesus? Who am I really supposed to be looking out for? And Jesus was very clear, the point isn't who. And if we think about the who, then we're getting lost in it. It's not, the point isn't the who, but it's the what. It's am I developing, is God preparing in me this sense of the importance of serving wherever service is needed, regardless of who it is? The who is not important. It's the what. Am I developing this? Is this being prepared in me? You know, one of the things that sometimes we have to say, is there really a need here? I mean, we look in our neighborhoods, we say, is there really a need there? Where do I engage? I had one of those conversations recently. You know, one of the things I've been doing this summer is, as I mow my lawn, I've noticed that my neighbor, you know, when he's out mowing at the same time, he'll kind of go three or four times up and down the road, then he'll stop and he'll take a seat for a while, he'll sit, he's got some heart problems, so he only go like three or four times up and back before he has to stop. And so I said to him one day, I'm like, man, Tom, I'll come and I'll like mow all the way to your house, and I'll mow behind your fence whenever I notice your grass is tall and I'm out mowing, and he's like, oh, I'll praise you forever, and he's always gets real big, you know, expressions, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm not looking for that. I'm just saying, when I'm out mowing, I'll be happy to like mow all the way to your house. His backyard's really intricate, all kinds of stuff in the backyard. I'm like, I'm going to leave that for you, but I'll mow over something if I go in the backyard. But I'm like, I'm going to come and help you. And so one day, you know, I was out mowing. I noticed that his grass was as tall as mine. So I said to his wife, Maria, now Maria has a really heavy Spanish accent. When I try to kind of impersonate her, it comes out Asian. I don't know why. But so when I'm talking to her, I'm like, Maria, if you would, you know, she was watering her flowers on the side of the house. If you want to pick your hose up and just put it like in the flower bed, man, I'll mow all the way over to your yard. And she's like, oh, you don't need to do that. Thomas, he will do that. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm helping Tom. He's got a bad heart, you know. And she's like, oh, screw his heart. Screw his heart. She's like, he's always sitting on his butt. She's like, to bleep with his heart. I mean, she's going on and on. And I'm like, whoa. She's like, you know, my life would be better sometimes if he's not here. And I'm like, whoa, I'm just looking to serve right here. I'm not trying to create any kind of family-like dynamics that are creating tension right here. I mean, I realized, you know, my serving was actually creating some tension in their home. And yet, you know, I realized, you know, sometimes we have to evaluate, is this really a need? I mean, do they really need this? Is Tom's heart really as bad? I didn't think I'd have to ask that. You know, every now and then, we do have to like discern and say, is this really a place? But the question isn't, who am I serving? It's, am I ready to serve when there's a need? Jesus goes on. Because the focus here is to say, hey, I want you to focus on serving anyone, everyone, whenever you see a need. So this is part of being prepared for what I'm doing in the world. So we go on, Matthew 25, verse 41. It says, he will then say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That'll screw with you right there, won't it? I mean, you know, we see Jesus as this really, you know, this welcoming you all. But he said, hey, you know, if you want to be about my business, I mean, you know, grace is freely given. But he says, man, I want you to turn it around and display this to others. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and we did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they'll go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so Jesus, he's defining the kingdom right here. He's saying, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. He says, if you're running after me, if you're wanting to engage, if you're wanting to take those next steps into experiencing what I've prepared for you and continuing to be a person who grows with those, then he says, I want you to engage with your community. You see, there's something that happens when we engage in this way with the needs around us. I mean, obviously the needs get met. Obviously that happens. I mean, that's kind of the given. But there's something at a different level that happens when we do this. And that's that our hearts begin to get in sync with God's heart. And the result is that people are blessed. And this is right back to what God said your ultimate mission is life, that you will be a blessing. So today, I want us to take a look. You know, we're not just about talking about it. We're kind of getting into the teaching portion right here. I want to talk just hypothetically, what does this look like? But we're about getting prepared. What does this community need to do to get prepared for the next season of what God wants to do, not just through Crosspoint, but all throughout our Fishers community, McCordsville, Fortville, greater Indianapolis area, in fact. And so we're going to take a look at some of the things that we might be able to be engaged in this week. We have some real live experiences for you lined up this week. And we're partnering with some people. We have some of our partners here today. And these are things that are making a difference. In fact, one of them is going on right now. There's one experience that's happening right now. Some of you are even preparing to be a part of it later on this morning. And so take a look at the screens, and here's the story behind this experience that's happening right now.
Every 3 seconds, someone in the world needs a blood transfusion. Throughout Chris's life, he has received over 500 units of blood through multiple blood transfusions. 1 in 20 Americans will need a blood transfusion sometime throughout their life. About 40,000 units of blood are used each day just in the United States. A lot of times we don't think about that something in our body can actually be a life-sustaining gift for someone else. When you give blood, you give life. You guys might know Chris through working in Upstreet or seeing him around Crosspoint, but Chris is actually my Uncle Chris. Chris is alive today because people gave their blood in order to help others live. I really felt like I needed to put together this blood drive for Crosspoint because I've been receiving email after email and call after call since the blood drive at my school in which I was unable to donate, saying that the blood center is in desperate need of my blood type, but all blood types in general. And I know that they're in such need now because they get a lot of their blood from the school blood drives that they host. And during the summer months, they're obviously not getting that. So basically, they live off of the blood drives like this one that we're having at Crosspoint today. When I was talking to an Indiana Blood Center representative, she told me that they're in crisis mode, which basically means that they don't have enough blood to supply the hospital's demands. So the example that she gave me was, if your family were in a car accident today and in need of a blood transfusion and they were rushed to the hospital, they may not have the blood to supply their need. And I know all of us can agree that this is a really scary situation, but we have to face the facts, and all we can do now is help them as much as we can. It hit really close to home because I know that my Uncle Chris is alive today because of other people's generosity. So now I'd just like to thank each and every one of you that's donating today. You truly will have someone's undying gratitude. And also, if you didn't get a chance to sign up past couple Sundays, but you'd still like to donate, you can stop by the truck right outside anytime between 9:30 and 2, and we'll squeeze you in. My name is Kendall Kylander, and what's happening here at Crosspoint today is making an impact on the greater Indianapolis area.
Really cool story about how Kendall, right here in the front row, just recent graduate of HSC, going to Miami University this fall, who has a dream to cure cancer someday, going into pre-med, said, hey, I can make a difference in the community. In fact, I've been watching people go in and out. The blood mobile, I believe, to my knowledge, is sitting right outside the doors right now, and that's making a difference. I mean, it's just something very simple that's going to touch people's lives, literally give people life. All throughout the community over the next weeks. And so if you're still interested, as Kendall said, there are some slots from 12 to 2. You can go home. You can get some lunch or go out and grab lunch and come back. And Bloodmobile will be here till 2:30 today, and you can give life to somebody. It's one of the tangible, simple ways that we can say, hey, there's a need here, and you can serve and give. And so we're going to look at a couple more of these today. And in fact, I have Darren, Sherry, and Linda here today. And you may know some of these people right here. But we're going to hear these are tangible ways. You know, we don't just want to talk about what it means to make a difference, but we want to give you some outtakes today. There's some things to say, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to engage in a very tangible way, getting me my hands dirty even this week. And so on the end is Darren and Sherry. And Darren, about 2 years ago, started this organization, Community First Initiative, and CFI as it's known. And new organization is just growing in our community. And Darren, give us a short little kind of picture of what you guys do and how you're making an impact in the community.
Yeah, CFI is a nonprofit organization. Our motto is to serve schools, mentor students, and build community. And we serve schools by providing free school-based mentor programs that operate during the school year, during the day, on that school campus. And we mentor students in their personal development. It's a really unique need to be able to go onto a campus and work with kids that might have some issues that are affecting their education. But we are mentoring these students on that campus. Mm-hmm. We build community by doing things I'm doing right now, going out and telling people about the needs we have in our schools, and we'll get to that in a second. But just giving you the opportunity to go onto the campus, if you can take an hour out of your week to go to one of our schools and connect with some students that need some caring adult relationships in their lives. That's what we're doing.
Awesome. And, just in the last week, you guys elevated kind of the significance of what's going on. In fact, you may have heard of this event. I mean, tell us about one of these families that you guys are kind of the fallback for now.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is pretty crazy. We are in the Options Noblesville Charter School. Well, actually, where Chris Owens is also a mentor for us, one of your very own. One of the students, his mother was the one that was killed in the car accident at 37 in Allisonville. A couple weeks ago, and just to make this worse, his father was killed in an accident just a little over a year ago. He's 18 years of age, and he's being mentored by one of our mentors, one of our board members, and he's 18 now, living with his brother, and he desperately needs other adults in his life. And Andy, our mentor, he is aware of the situation, and he's connecting with his kid, and there are so many kids, whether they realize it or not, desperately need caring adult relationships in their lives. I see that all the time. 10 years as a youth pastor now doing this here in Hamilton County, there are hundreds of kids that need people like all of you to take an hour out of your week and go and get on that campus and love them, encourage them, coach them, and support them. But yeah, he's one example. There are many more in our schools.
So one of the things we do here at Crosspoint is, we've known Darren, and when he started this, we said, we just want to come alongside groups that are doing. We see the need. We can't, say, hey, let's start a program at Crosspoint, but we want to come alongside and say, how can we help resource with financially, with volunteers? And Sherry Wilhite, who you may know as our Wombaland team leader, Sherry also just got back from Jamaica. I mean, I said to Sherry, she just kind of seeps volunteer serving, giving to others out of her life. I mean, she's always away doing something where she's giving to other people, and she does that here at Crosspoint as well. But a couple years ago when Darren was here, Sherry signed up and said, hey, I want to be a part of that. Why did you choose to do that, Sherry? What's that? Why did you choose to be part of this?
Well, the first of all, the program that I'm involved in is a teen mom mentoring program. It's actually going to hopefully start relaunch in August up in Noblesville. And we're offering a free daycare facility for teen moms so they can continue to go to school or come back to school if they have dropped out. Mm-hmm. And I guess to back up what kind of led me to this is I first had the opportunity to mentor a couple girls in college. And in college, it was just kind of this thing, sure, I'll do it. And I didn't really know what it was going to be, what it was going to look like. Well, now as an adult, probably, 13, 14 years later, I still have that relationship with those girls. And now it's more of a friendship thing. And I know that I've seen the impact that I've had on their lives. And for me that, I feel great about, giving back to them. And then as Kurt said, I just got back from Jamaica, but last year was my first missions trip ever. And I came back with this, missions trip high. And I thought, I did such awesome things there, and you get to help so many people and they're poor. And so you get to see that immediate impact. And I came home, and I'm like, okay, well, now what? Now what am I going to do? And I just, after, it didn't take, I guess it was a couple weeks, and I realized, God wants me to do this all the time. It's not just like I go away to a different country, and I serve for 1 week, and yay, I feel good. I'm supposed to be doing this all the time in my community. And so when Darren came a year ago, he talked about, I don't know if he talked about it or Kurt just mentioned it, about the teen mom thing, and immediately I was like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. This is right down my alley. And I got the confirmation when immediately Dave nudges me and he's like, hey, you should do this. You'd be awesome. And I was like, okay, that's God. You know, he's using me through this program.
Yeah, and what's that meant to you? How have you, you know, we always go and we're like, I have all this stuff to give to these students. I mean, I'm the one that has all the resource, all the experience. How are you receiving from that? Because usually you walk away, you know, feeling like you got more out of it.
Yeah, I've had to think about this a lot because I don't, it actually makes me feel uncomfortable to think about what I get from it because I don't go into these things thinking about how this is going to affect me. But I started thinking about, even we had a picnic with the girls yesterday, and every time that I leave with these girls, I'm so excited for what God is going to do in their life and how he's going to use all these people. And I get a sense of fulfillment because I know in my heart that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. And I know that sometimes I feel, you know, selfish even thinking that way, but that's honest. I mean, that's how I feel, and I know that's what God wants me to do.
Awesome. Darren's going to be out in the lobby afterwards, and if you're interested in volunteering, saying, hey, this is one of the places I can give an hour and just kind of mentor some students, you can connect with him afterwards. You can also mark on your card, and Sherry would be a great resource if you want to ask her questions, as well as a number of others who are mentors here at CrossPoint. And so that's one of the outtakes, one of the ways we can get engaged in the community. Next, I have Linda Dedgewa sitting next to me. And Linda is the principal down at IPS 96. Many of you know her if you're around Cross Point. But if you're newer to Cross Point, we have this thing called the Bucket Project. It began a couple years ago with IPS 96. And it really began in our children's environment through a book called Have You Filled a Bucket Today? And it's a book about bullying. It's a book about kids' book about, you know, we each carry buckets around in our lives. And we either pour into people's buckets and fill their buckets with encouragement and good things, or we're bucket takers. And we take water out of people's buckets and just deplete their lives. And you know, in me being a blessing, I want to be a bucket giver, bucket filler. There's a lot of depleters around. But as Linda saw this, she said, man, this would be really cool for my school. And so she took this thing we're doing at CrossPoint down to her school, began to change the culture of your school. In fact, buckets painted all over the hallways. Tell us a little bit about how this project has had a bigger impact at IPS 96.
Well, it all started, though, just because my kids were in Upstreet and everything like that. So I have to give you guys credit because it started with Dina painting the buckets and several volunteers coming in, and we painted all the way down the hallways and stuff. And it's so simple, and the kids picked up on it. We purchased books, and it's just I'm going to be good to my neighbor. I'm always going to do the right thing. I'm always going to do the great things. And so every day, when teachers notice someone goes over and picks up trash or helps someone or something like that, they'll write it on a star, and we put it in a bucket in our office. And every night or every evening at announcements, I call everyone's name out, and then we post them all along our walls. And they're there all year long, so the kids are just, and it's everywhere, cafeteria, everywhere. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a simple thing, and I have to give it to you guys for bringing it to me, you know.
Well, and we're just kind of a conduit on that. You know, one of the cool things is you guys had a project awarded to you earlier this year, and tell us a little bit about that.
We had the opportunity, all IPS schools had the opportunity to apply for a library makeover. It's like the extreme makeover. And so, obviously, we jumped right on that, you know, needing a new library because ours is very small, and we had books back in 1935 and everything like that. So every principal had to interview. So you come into this panel, and then they start asking you several questions. And when they started asking, well, what do you think your school, how do they deserve it, and what are you about? And I started mentioning how we had partnered with Cross Point and the buckets and everything, and they toured our building. And I just kept going about the buckets and how it's really been beneficial to us and doing this and talking about several other things. But we received the phone call that we won the library makeover. Yeah. So I have to, again, thank you guys because it's just like a domino effect. Every step I've taken at this school has truly come from you guys because it all stemmed with the partnership. Because IPS is really big into partnerships, and you guys have just done so many things for our school. And Dr. White, our superintendent, because we're an ESL school, he has several meetings with our Hispanic families and has translators. He comes into our building, and you can just see. Well, the first time he came in and he saw the buckets, he said, "What's going on here, Linda? What's all this stuff?" And I explained to him, and he said, "Well, let's walk down the hallways and the cafeteria and everything." And you could just see in his eyes that, hey, this is an easy and simple thing. Yeah. My director, because of you guys with the Christmas, you fill the huge boxes for our families. My director came out this past Christmas time, and she was just in awe. She couldn't believe. She thought, oh, yeah, you guys are going to give out little bitty boxes. And when she saw, these are 50, 100-pound boxes, and all of you supporting it, our staff supporting it, she was just in awe at that. And when I have new parents come in, I walk the building, and they see the buckets, and I explain it to them. They go, wow, that's so simple, and it's so neat. Mm-hmm. So when their child comes home and says, Mom, I was a bucket filler today, they know what it means. So.
Well, and the point of this, we want to kind of give you a picture of what's happening here, because, you know, many of you have been involved. Many of you have prepared the Christmas food boxes, 100-pound Christmas food boxes. You know, it's a small little thing that sparked enormous things within this school. And so in your weekly, there's some info on the bucket project. In fact, we're in a uniform drive right now. If you want to take that out, just look over it as we're talking. And one of the things we do at the start of every school year is ask you while you're out shopping for your kids or just shopping, you know, to take this with you and pick up some uniform items for families here. And these don't just go randomly to people. I mean, can you give us one story of specifically maybe a family that this impacted in a huge way?
Well, when you asked me about it, the first one that came to my mind was a mother who had just, this probably happened in March of this year. We always keep the clothing that we receive back in a closet. And her child came in and he was not in uniform or was not in the proper uniform. And it's my job to call, you know, I have a person that checks all the uniforms, but then I feel like it's my job to call the parent and explain, especially a new family into our school. And I talked to her, very nice lady, very wonderful lady, a professional lady, has come across hard times, as we all have in this economic time. And she used to go to an outer school. What do I want to say? Outer?
Suburb,
mm-hmm. Okay. And financially, she had to move and get a housing in inner city. And so she was struggling. And she said, oh, will you please allow him to stay? Well, for my job, I can't have any student in class without uniform. And I said, you know what? I said, we'll make this do. I said, I understand the struggles, and so you know, we all understand. And I explained that we had a partnership, and we do have some clothing. And so I said, what I'm going to do is have Jaden change his clothes today, and then I'll put in his backpack two more uniforms, which you guys had supplied to us, and that would get her through. And she said, oh, she says, I can work with that, and each week just have to launder. And so, and then she came into my office and waited to say thank you. A couple of days later, she says, I can't express how much that has helped me. So, I mean, and it's all because of you guys. Yeah.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, panel, for sharing with us today. You know, these are just a few of the ways. I mean, very simple things, ways you can engage in the community. There's one more on the back of this bucket project insert is Faith, Hope, and Love. And it's an initiative happening this week here in the Indianapolis area. And this is in the greater Indianapolis area here in Hamilton County. Every day, tomorrow through Friday, there's going to be a daily service project in the community. And it begins up at the Hamilton County 4-H Fairgrounds. And it begins with registration at 8:30. You can go. It doesn't cost anything. You just go and register at 9 o'clock. There's kind of devotional music time. And then at 9:30, groups are sent out into the community to just serve. And it's just a simple serving, meeting the basic needs of people in our county right here. And so if you're interested, you can check it out here. You take your lunch with you. And it's just another tangible ways. These are each tangible ways that we can say, hey, what does it mean for us to engage our community? Well, this is a part of how God prepares us for what he's doing. He's preparing our hearts to sync up with what he's doing all around us. And Crosspoint, you've been doing this for the 3 years we've been in existence. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when this symphony happens and we see how God continues to help us connect with him as we love others. So I take out that connection card. We're really big on growth here at Crosspoint. We asked you to fill it out earlier. And on the back, there's some next steps. And you know, we care way too much about to just come and say, hey, we're going to gather and we're just going to talk about things. But you know, we want to be the kind of community that engages and, as we've said, that goes. You know, we don't want to be a, hey, come to us and we'll help you. We want to be a, hey, we're going to come and be a go-to kind of community. And so there's a number of options listed here. I'm going to ask you to pick up a pen and in just a moment to say, you know, how, God, do you want me to maybe engage this week in my community and see if I don't take in some way a step to that next new place as I become in an increased way a part of what you're doing all around us. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to fill this out. God, I'm praying right now that you would help us to see how we can be used in this way. God, these are simple, ordinary things, and yet there's something, God, that you do in us when we're willing to prepare, when we're willing to say, I'm going to give a little of my time and give up a little of my free time, a day of work this week. I'm going to go, or I'm going to buy clothes when I'm at the store. I'm going to give of myself in a way to feed the hungry, or to clothe those who don't have clothes, or to maybe spend a little time with those that are just on hard times and mentor them right now, God. Whatever it might be, God, we know you want to engage this community and all this community to continue to be a tribe that makes positive impact and is a blessing to our community. So God, we're gonna sing this song in a moment, this declaration of what we're about. And God, we're gonna fill these cards out. And this is gonna be a spiritual moment where we're saying, God, I'm engaged. I'm preparing my heart to be more in sync with what you're doing because we believe you're up to something big. Go ahead and grab a pen next to you and fill that out as the band begins to sing.